And welcome back in. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Steve Gill, Michael Patrick Leahy here. You can go to TennesseeStar.com, find links to the stories that we're talking about today, including a lead story about Memphis deciding to thumb their nose and maybe even flick some other body parts towards the Tennessee legislature for demanding that they, well, comply with our illegal immigration laws in this country. Memphis saying, we don't have to comply with the law. You can check that story out at TennesseeStar.com. Also go to our Facebook, Tennessee Star on Facebook. And the incoming House Speaker, who will soon move to that position, is current state representative, and soon to be House Speaker Glenn Cassidy, who's on the line with us this morning. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Now, when do you actually take over as House Speaker?
I am sworn in at approximately noon, Tuesday, January the 8th.
So you've got about one more week to figure out how you're going to herd cats and bring some order to chaos with a bunch of new members of the state legislature. When will you start announcing who the committee chairman are going to be, chairman and chairwoman? Just kind of walk us through the process.
Yes, and we've been busy for weeks putting this together, both the mechanics with the clerk's office and working on committee structures, committee makeup, and then we just started working on the makeup by members. So we'll announce that Thursday morning, the 10th of January.
And in the meantime, you're deciding whether you're going to add new committees, break committees up into separate committees, combine them. So, I mean, there's really kind of a complete structural overhaul.
It really is. I'll tell you, if people will study state politics, we haven't had this much change, Steve, in state politics since the Civil War. A third new legislators, a new governor. It's significant what we're seeing in the leadership of the state of Tennessee.
How will that change things? Because, I mean, you've been the caucus chair, you've been the whip, you've had a variety of positions. Now you're going to be the speaker. You've been there for a while. How do you get these new members up and running? Because, I mean, literally, y'all are going to be drinking out of a fire hydrant as soon as they get there. I've told folks in the past that if you want to start communicating to the legislature about various issues, you better start about 2 or 3 months ago, because once they get into session, it's coming at them from all angles. How do you prepare the new freshman members of the legislature for the onslaught to come?
That's a very good point. But first and foremost, if you look at the individuals that have just been elected, Steve Sapicki in Columbia, Brandon Ogles here in Williamson County, Charlie Baum over in Murfreesboro, these are individuals that are successful in life. And so a successful person makes for a good legislator. And these guys, barring the procedures, you know, that's something you learn. But these guys will hit the road running on day one, and I'm excited for them.
I mentioned before you came on that Memphis has made it clear through their elected officials and sheriff there that they have no intention of complying with the rules and regulations that the state has imposed in dealing with sanctuary cities and illegal immigration. What's your take on that?
You know, the mayor of Memphis has reached out to me several weeks ago, expressed a desire to work with the Republican legislator. I welcome that. This is going to require a conversation with the mayor. And Steve, let's hope a low-level bureaucrat said this without authority, and because that deserves attention for a city or any entity, Steve, to snub their nose at law. And so this is going to require a conversation.
It's bad enough that the illegals are snubbing their nose at the law. Now you've got city officials that apparently are doing the same thing.
This is Michael Patrick Leahy, soon to be Speaker Cassidy. First, congratulations on that. Just as a point of clarification, in our story today, you'll note that that statement of failure to comply with the state's laws was made by Shelby County Sheriff spokesman Anthony Buckner in a statement to the Tennessee Star. It's in our story today.
It's a disturbing statement. The sheriff is accountable directly to the voters of Shelby County, and I've had it hard to believe that people of Shelby County would agree with the sheriff's office. So it's going to require a serious conversation on what is going on down there.
A lot of other issues are going to come up very quickly. One of the ones that I've been kind of caught by surprise is that apparently legalized sports betting is going to be on the agenda, whether y'all want it there or not. One of the legislators is pushing forward with legalized sport betting. Do you have any sense of A, whether this has a shot at becoming law, and B, kind of what you believe about this issue?
You know, let's say real quick, sports betting is not the panacea. I know that is going to be the push. Hey, it's more revenue for the state of Tennessee. I have found that gambling can lead to more trouble with the other peripheral problems it brings with it than the actual revenue it'll bring into the state. That has a possibility of passing. I've got my eyebrows raised. Let me just say that.
Yeah, it's interesting. It does take money away. There are a certain number of gambling dollars, and I know that the folks in Tunica may not be enthusiastic about folks in Tennessee being able to gamble without going there or up to Evansville. You've got a state lottery. If I've got $10 that I'm going to go bet, whether it's on lottery tickets or in sport betting, there's only a limited amount of those dollars. It's just going to move where they're being placed, it seems.
Steve, I couldn't agree more, because your budget, my budget, we spend X amount on housing, X amount on food, and we have just a small amount for recreation. So do we spend the recreation at the theater downtown, or do we spend it on sports betting? So exactly, that's well said.
Speaker-to-be, Cassida, Michael Patrick Leahy with this question. It's a policy question for you. It's the number one policy issue for me personally. And that is the question of school choice. Now, Governor-elect Lee in July, in his 10 for 10 campaign promises, said that school choice would be one of his 10 priorities. That is no longer apparently one of his priorities. My question for you is, sources tell me that there will be a version of school choice, probably educational savings accounts as opposed to vouchers, that will be introduced in the House and in the State Senate this year. Will you support such a bill, and do you anticipate that it would pass?
Yes, and let me cut right to the chase. If that gets to the House floor, I am voting yes. It's unequivocally, I'm for it. I think you've got an education committee that I'm putting together that would favor that. And I spoke to the individual that I hoped will carry the bill, that I think would be the best person to carry the bill. We had a good conversation yesterday about why I support it, and will he be on board and help push this through? So yes to those questions. Now, the one that really matters is, will it pass? And it's going to be a battle. It's going to be a close vote.
You know, one of the challenges, I know we've talked about this in the past, is that in a lot of rural locations in Tennessee, there aren't a lot of private school options. So you've got rural communities where if you had school choice, a parental choice, you know, vouchers or anything else, you know, there's not a place to go. So there's not a lot of enthusiasm in some of those areas. So legislators sometimes are conflicted by saying, well, yeah, I might theoretically or philosophically support more choice, but I've got more teachers who will vote against me than people who will take advantage of it, and therefore the numbers just don't work.
Yeah, and that's why vouchers has failed in the past, Steve. And I support vouchers too, by the way. But they have failed, and that is why the rural delegation just doesn't have a buy-in on vouchers. And so I support vouchers. Maybe we can make that figure out a way to make that work as well. But that's been the problem.
Are there any other key issues that you think are going to come up in this legislative session that'll get early attention and maybe spark some controversy?
You know, the early attention, I think, will be looking forward to what the governor's going to roll out on equal emphasis on vocational education as well as academic. And I'm really interested in how he's going to address recidivism, because we got too many people that serve their time, come back in society, and then recommit a crime and go back to jail. We've got to incorporate those people back into our economy. We want them working, not in prison. And so those are two things I think will take early attention, and the legislature is ready to get behind the governor and support whatever he's for on this, on both those areas.
Will that criminal justice reform include restoring voting rights to felons?
You know, I don't see the governor taking that up. I don't. I think we need to focus on the problem, and the problem is too many individuals go back to jail. And so how do we incorporate them back into society? That's what we need to focus on.
Well, and when you get back into the education piece, which you mentioned as well, early education, I mean, a kid that doesn't read by third grade is more likely to end up in our prison system later. So you really can't separate the vocational training, the recidivism numbers, and making sure that basic reading is achieved third and fourth grade.
And And we put a good emphasis on academic education, going to college. But see, that's not a a lot of the young people, that's not a path they're even interested in. So we lose them early in the education.
When welders are starting at about $90,000 to $100,000 a year, and folks graduating with early Renaissance painting studies, or working at a fast food restaurant, that maybe the economics ought to play in as well. One of the other controversies that we've seen brewing as the governor prepares to take office is the people he's putting in key positions in his administration and his cabinet officials. Not a lot of conservatives making it through the scrutiny process with this governor. Does that concern you at all?
All attention is always focused on the governor, and the governor kind of makes the train run on time. It's the legislature that's the most important that it's conservative, because we're the ones that actually pass the laws and actually fund or not fund specific endeavors. And so I know the legislature, and we are very conservative, and so Tennessee is going to be well governed. And I'm excited for Bill Lee. He's a good Christian man. He's a good businessman. So it's going to be a good team. It's going to be a real good team.
The legislature for a long time has kind of taken a back seat on policy and budgeting and those things. I know in knowing you well and working with you over the years, I don't think you're going to be taking a back seat to anybody as House Speaker.
No, I'm excited to be that my peers elected me Speaker, because the House is going to be very, very vocal and very involved in state government. And we've got sharp people in the House, and you're going to see us be equal leaders in state government.
And some sharp elbows, too. Incoming House Speaker Glenn Cassidy, always great to catch up with you, my friend. And we'll catch up early and often, I'm sure, during this session. Thanks for being with us. This is the Tennessee Star Report. Incoming House Speaker Glenn Cassidy. Yeah, there'll be some sharp elbows, new bodies, new chairman who will be helping set the agenda.
You know, he was not afraid to set forward his policy agenda.
I think you're going to see it set forth very clearly. We're back in a moment. This is the Tennessee Star Report, 615-737-9522. Your calls are next.